Well, first of all, there was Bhikshu Jagadish Kashyap, who was an Indian by birth, a Bihari, and who was a Theravadin bhikkhu, and a very great scholar, one of the greatest Buddhist scholars that modern India has produced. With him I stayed for nearly a year studying Pali, studying Abhidhamma. He was a great authority on Pali grammar and on Buddhist logic, and he eventually edited the entire Pali Tipitaka in Devanagari characters and established the Nalanda Pali Institute, which subsequently became the Nalanda Buddhist University. He died some years ago, unfortunately. And I remember the days, the months I spent with him with very great fondness, because he was a complete embodiment of tolerance and of kindness, as well as of being a very great scholar, a very humble man. Some scholars I've met, I'm sorry to say, have not been particularly humble men. They haven't been remarkable for their humility, but Kashyapji, as we usually called him, certainly was. And then again, I must mention the first of my Tibetan teachers, and that was Chechul Sanghe Dorje, from whom I received various teachings and initiations. Some of you may have heard his name, because it occurs in the writings of Thomas Merton, of whom some of you must have heard. Thomas Merton mentions him in the course of his Asian journal, I think it is, because it was on the personal recommendation of no less a person than the Dalai Lama that Thomas Merton went to Chechul Sanghe Dorje. And he was more impressed by Chechul Sanghe Dorje, he afterwards wrote, than he had been by any other Tibetan Lama whom he met, not excluding the Dalai Lama himself. So I was so fortunate as to be associated with Chechul Sanghe Dorje, who in fact is still alive. He's the only one of my eight teachers who is living, but he's now 82, and he does not choose to come to the West. He was in some ways the most eccentric and bizarre and extraordinary of all my teachers. He did not give straightforward teachings. If you asked him a question, he'd very, very rarely answer it. Usually, he would do something very odd, and you had to make the best of that sort of reply that you could. Some of my own disciples actually have visited him. Some have been rebuffed. Others have been welcomed and given teachings and initiations for no apparent reason. So he was, well, one of the most extraordinary of my teachers. And then I must also mention the great Drujum Rinpoche, and Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, and the great Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche, who died in 1959. And I also must mention Khachu Rinpoche, from whom I received most of my Nyingma Pa teachings. He was the head lama, the abbot of Pyemyangse Gompa in Sikkim, which is the principal Nyingma Pa establishment in Sikkim. It's also the royal, or was the royal Gompa, the royal monastery. With him too I was closely associated. And again I must not forbear to mention the name of Dalda Rinpoche. He was my Gelugpa teacher. I was very closely associated with him for quite a number of years. He was remarkable both for his compassion, I would say, and his extreme mindfulness. I associated with him for a number of years. We were quite intimately associated. We travelled together. But though I observed him very closely, observed his words, observed his actions, could almost sometimes read his thoughts, I never found him on a single occasion, for a single instant, unmindful. Now, that's a very big thing to say. Those of you who practice or try to practice mindfulness will know how difficult it is to remain mindful even for 5 minutes. Even for 5 minutes, but I never caught out, well, not that I tried to catch him out, but I never caught out Dalda Rinpoche even once. His mindfulness, his self-possession was so extraordinary one could call it really supernatural. He was never caught napping. Never caught napping. And one of my disciples, I'm glad to say, has written the biography of Dr. Rinpoche. It's called the Wheel and the Diamond. He died about 2 years ago. Dr. Rinpoche did, that is to say. And perhaps last of all, I should mention another rather strange and eccentric teacher of mine. Or perhaps I'll just, he wasn't exactly a teacher, though I regarded him as such. He refused to be regarded as a teacher. He refused to regard anybody as his pupil or student. And that was Yogi C.M. Ching, of whom some of you may have heard. With him also I was closely associated with a number of years. And I though he would perhaps deny that. Although he would perhaps deny the fact, I learned a lot from him, a very great deal from him. And his tradition was Chinese Zen, Chan, that is to say. He practiced Chan, and he also practiced Vajrayana. He'd been in Eastern Tibet for a number of years, and he'd been associated with the great Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche.